الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، جلسة المذاكرة of this what we have done, not specifically to the kitab of the Zuhr, but as a reminder for myself also, last night we had some مذاكرة on Salah. Shouldn't we already be forgot about it? We discussed about Salah, then we discussed the sunnahs of eating also, which fingers to eat, how to eat, duas, how to lick the fingers. So as a reminder, that we remain conscious of these adab, sunnats, etiquettes. Our beloved Sheikh Zaman Abdul Hamisa, Tabarakatuhu, mentioned to us one time that especially students of deen in Darul Uloom. So, he says in the class, we just did the masail now, the sunnats of wuzu, sunnats of ghusl, sunnats of salah, the different masail in depth. And he says that from the class to the masjid, from the class to the masjid, maybe 10 meters away, 20 meters away, 50 meters away. So very far, maybe 100 meters away also. He said, we just did the masail, and students of deen, their retention and memory usually is good. But when it comes to the so important aspects of our life, and our life hereafter, our qabr and akhirat, in 20 meters, 50 meters, 100 meters, by the time we reach the musalla, we already forgot. Already forgot it. We just did it now. By the time we reach the musalla, we already forgot what you did. And back to normal, maktab madrasa style namaz. We did all the high-powered masail, everything, all the dalail and proofs and hadith and everything else. And just a few steps and already ghaflat, kicked in already. Unmindfulness, neglectful. Said, because there's no importance given to it. There's no ahmiyat given to it. There shouldn't be here also. Now, we heard everything, sitting on the same spot where we're reading our namaz. Not even 10 meters or 5 meters. And already we forgot about it. And we did this yesterday, how to sit, how to tie the hands, and the different postures. And we already forgot. And by the time we said, that's Sarkhan also. Now we forgot which hand to eat with. Then maybe some brothers have two right hands. And all the fingers are same three fingers. But we're carrying on normal from what we were doing all this time. We're doing the same thing, carrying on. So there's no value coming into our life. It's still the same carrying on. Ghaflat. So Allah Ta'ala take us out from this ghaflat. That we become chokanna. Then the shaft, this awareness comes in us all the time. This is Islah. That I'm aware all the time. Like how person, some people become very, very aware of the outlook in life, how they look, or how the people portray them, or how I am dressed, or how people may look at me, very, very concerned, and causes them anxiety also. Causes them anxiety all the time, to the extent, if I some boys in madrasa also, under the desk, they're looking more under the desk than on the desk. I was under the desk, they were on murade. Look at the mirror of the whole day, see the beard is right, see the turban is right, topi is right. So, you have to remind them sometimes that by Alhamdulillah, you're aware of yourself, but to be so over-concerned in a place where there's only boys, doesn't look right. There's only boys in madrasa, so how come you're so concerned about how you look? So it becomes a bimari after that. Me, myself and I. He said, forget, I'm nothing. Me kuch nahi, mera kuch nahi. I'm nothing. But Allah will make me and become Allah's. Then Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah will come. Then Allah will announce to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, so and so I love him. Because he's more aware of me than himself. So you must also love him. Then you go to the dwellers of the sky, you make Allah an announcement, Allah loves so and so, I also love him. And then muhabbat and love comes down to the people of the earth. So you want that muhabbat, that love, that recognition. The recognition you want from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Like Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I remember clearly, Hazrat always mentioned his riwayat, that once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting next to him, and as Abu Dharr walked in, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, hadha Abu Dharr, wa Nabi yafallah, this is Abu Dharr. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel, how do you know Abu Dharr? He said, he's very well known in the skies. All the malaika know him because of his love for Suratul Ikhlas, and he has some other qualities also. فَهُوَ أَشْهَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He is more famous عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعِنْدَنَا وَكَمَا قَالْ is more famous in the skies by Allah and the Malaika than here on the earth. There is more known. So that is qabuliyat. It shouldn't be that you just forget all of a sudden. The masturat that from now, we are sitting so long, alhamdulillah, 5 days, 6 days. That wasn't happened to the ladies at home. We learning so much, sometimes they get afraid, they'll come home with such josh now. You don't know what's going to happen now. So we have to educate them, give them the opportunities also. And Hazrat says, when it comes to the masturat, for them to change is very easy. Very easy. But to make that very easy, easy is very difficult. To make that very easy is very difficult also. But it's very easy for them to change. So Hazrat says, you only need two things. Only two things, but that too is difficult. Two easy things were difficult. What are the two easy things? Good company for a good amount of time. Good company for a good amount of time, and you see how they'll change. Very quickly they'll change. But to get them to the good company is very difficult. So good company, what we're speaking about, when you take them out from Masturat Jamaat, in the path of Allah. But to get them out, or to get them to the local Talim also, encourage her, she said, don't force me. I'll go and I'm ready. And then when they do go also, and they don't feel welcome, nobody gave them a smile, nobody embraced them, nobody asked them, then they feel a bit hostile, say, I'm not going back for Talim. Then nobody greeted me, nobody smiled. Oh, she took the baby and went. And the baby started crying a little bit. Then the older ladies are giving her daggers. They say, I'm not going back for Talim. Now, the way I was treated, and you get one lady there, alhamdulillah, of the house, that's welcoming. Tell her, bien, mashallah, so nice you came. And mashallah, you got your baby also. He listened to the ahadith, Allah will inspire him. And if the baby troubles, no problem, here's a room over here. You can take him, you can sit over there. Now they feel, we got a space now. We got a space, some pious woman, some good woman, alhamdulillah, welcomed us, took us in. Then alhamdulillah, they're ready to go in Jamaat after that. So we have to educate the older ladies, workers also, that will receive the younger girls, and encourage them. And how are we going to do it as men now? We can't go talk to the ladies. But I know that Talim is certain house there, and I know the man of the house. This is my Sati, a Jamaat Sati, so we can tell him. So, but you can do me a favor. Tell your family, tell your apa, send a personal message. Send a personal message to my family. Tell her, come for the tali, bring the baby also, no problem. House is big enough. She doesn't have to sit right in front, she can sit at the back also. And like this, slowly we can make a plan. So when there's eagerness and there's desire, then we can make all these plans. Like how we do for dunya. So for deen also, we have to think. Dil or dimag, our Kabir said, dil or dimag lagana. To put our heart and our mind to it. How can I make some change in my family's life? So this has been sitting over here also. So alhamdulillah, we're sitting here and the talim is taking place and we're getting educated also. Amal is coming. Shouldn't be that they lag behind also. But we should make dua for them and Allah teach me now how to get her also onto deen and a higher level than myself. So alhamdulillah, once we start making mashwara and we ask, we're just sharing a few points, a few hacks, if you may call it. So as you carry on asking, then we learn. Then we learn now how to work around our masturat also. And once you get the right company and they get inspired, then what Yaqub Sahanupuri Rahimullah Nisabuddin will say, that one woman, one pious woman, what she can do, even 70 awliya can do. How she'll move that home, even 70 awliya can do that. How she'll make tashkil and how she moves the children and everybody else. Unbelievable. When the fikr will come into her, the effort that she can make is unbelievable. We find the sahabiyat, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna. How they move the sahaba ikram in the path of Allah? What are you doing at home? Amr bin Jamuh. With Masurat Salim, what are you sitting at home? Although he was, so to say, paralyzed. She said, you can still move one leg also. Get on your camel and go. So when that figure came in them, even that type of a sahabi, he had no excuse from that his wife. So even she sent him away, what a dua he made, Allahumma la turaddani ila ahli, Allah, I'm going, don't bring me back. Put him on the camel in the battle of Uhud, camel don't want to move back to Medina, Manawara. Finally to ask him, Masurat, what dua he made? He made dua before he left, Allah, don't return me. But the camel didn't want to move. So on that skill, alhamdulillah, person can do anything. But remember, is that a once-off thing? So a once-off thing that now, it'll happen one time and it'll continue happening, is about targhib. encouragement, the halakas must carry on, the tali must carry on, the encouragement in the house, etc. So this is an ongoing effort when it comes to us. Islah is an ongoing effort. Islah, hidayat, da'wat, ta'lim, ta'allum, zikr, ibadat, khidmat is an ongoing effort to the extent, what do you say, ongoing right till maut. We can't say I got it, I say, hey, I got it in the bag. Yeah, it doesn't happen. It's right till maut. The effort is right till maut. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was commanded with this. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. What is Jameel Sahib is to make tarjuma of Raibin? وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Not that jihad karo, jihad karte raho. Continue the mujahada and jihad. وَاعْبُدْ عِبَادَتْ كَرْتَي رَهُ Nabi of Allah, continue the ibadat. Continue the servitude until yaqeen, until maut comes upon you. Nabi of Allah has been commanded. There is no time, there is no space for you to put your foot off the accelerator. It has to be foot down. Everything. There is no time to say relax. Right till maut. Nabi of Allah, right till maut, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no permission. فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Nabi of Allah mentioned, شَيِّبَتْنِ هُودْ. The surah of Hud turned me white. This ayat over here made me white. Nabi of Allah has given a direct command, فَاسْتَقِيمْ. Remain absolutely steadfast. Of the Shafi'i Sahib Rahim, Allah explains the word istaqama istaqimu. Maqama yuqimu. Where you take a peg, the tent peg, and how you ground it. And you move, it doesn't move right, nice, correct. Salafa, you seem to be like that peg. No wavering whatsoever. No wavering whatsoever. And now I'll take it a bit easy. No, there's no time. It's going to be first taqim, remain, so we'll be steadfast. And to emphasize it also, kama umirta, as you've been commanded. As you've been commanded. And then the next ayat, Hazrat says, quoting tafsir from Mawlana Ali, Miyasab Rahmatullah Ali, wala tarkanu. One is first taqim, physically. Yourself, with your ibadah and mujahada, remain absolutely steadfast. When taqaza is there, you're just moving straight. There's no leeway whatsoever for you, O Nabi of Allah. And then, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا, don't even be inclined. To emphasize it even more. Don't even be inclined. So, مَلِي عَلْمِيَا سَبْ رَحِيمُ اللَّهِ Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali, al-Nabi al-Hasani رَحِيمُ اللَّهِ, he would make tarjumah translate, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا كَ مَيْلَانِ قَلْبِي مَيْلَانِ قَلْبِي بِجَائِزْنِهِ. Qalbi melani means, don't even be inclined with your heart also. Not even with your heart. While I'm sitting in i'tikaf here, roses call outside. The heart is there. Or the heart is somewhere else. But here, I'm straight, alhamdulillah. But the heart is still wavering. Says, no permission for even that also. That your heart must waver this way or that way, absolutely straight. There's no time for anything else. And so by extension, the ummah has been commanded also. And then Allah Ta'ala sounded a warning. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not be inclined towards the oppressors, the wrongdoers. What they are doing, don't even be inclined towards what they are doing. Their sports and their hobbies and their outings and all the picnicking and everything else. There's a time for everything. I'm doing it because to keep the, as it says, looking after the family is also ibadat. Now we'll take care of them. So then alhamdulillah, when it comes to taqaza of deen, they're ready for that also. So no inclination whatsoever to whatever they have. Completely. So don't even be inclined towards the way of the wrongdoers. Nabi of Allah is being addressed over here directly and the ummah extension. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ. Look at the warning. If you do get inclined even from the heart, فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ, the fire of Jahannam will afflict you. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. And from the side of Allah, there be no guardian for you and no help from you also. Be abandoned. Now we can understand why Masjid Aqsa is closed. Where's the ummah's hearts right now? We say, itikaf is over, now we can relax. Hey, now we'll go here, we'll go there. And those are not itikaf also, waiting for the Ramadan to finish. So even the inclination of the heart also, holidays, start school holidays, where the heart is inclined towards right now, which way is going? Whereas the reality is, after I take off, now the need should be my life for deen. Now you can't have i'tikaf every 10 days. You can't have majlis every day. But you've got the fikr of deen taking place every day in the masjid. You've got morning fikr taking place, the 5 amal, the 5 amal of the masjid, morning fikr. You've got ta'lim in the home, ta'lim in the masjid, 2.5 hours, mulaqas taking place. The daily fikr. Wa'bud rabbak. If you don't make the niyat now, then Hazrat says there's no vacuum in a person's life. If no one will fill that spot with some ibadat, some activity of deen, dunya will take it. Dunya will take it. So there has to be a plan. There has to be a plan after Ramadan. How am I going to set my tartib of life? Dunya is on its place. You're not saying don't work. It has to be there. But it has to revolve around my deen. If I don't make the plan and I don't make the tartib right now sitting in i'tikaf, it means like when we're in 1 year jamaat also, we come into the end of the year, we met on alim and zaymin. So we said with Deepsa Muzakara, then he asked us, you're coming to the end of 1 year, you'll give 1 year. 29 of us, 12 were married also. Some of the Saatis had children also. Some of them, the children came during the year they were born. So what be qurbani you made? So we went back to South Africa. So he asked each one of us, what plan you made to shake your country? What plan you made? 1 year you were here. Now for what was 1 year to study in UK, Britain, somewhere. He's got a plan, I'm coming back now. Alright, I already got a spot, I'm planning this, planning that. It's your plan you made. So I'm looking at his face. Say, no plan. You start your 1 year again. You just pass time over here. No plan at all how to shake your community, how to get them 5 times salah, 100% musallis. You didn't make a plan and present to Allah yet. So it means dil or dimag, you haven't given your heart and your mind to it. What do you say? Wishful thinking, it'll happen. Somebody do it. Somebody else will make the fikr. But I haven't made a plan. So there has to be a plan for my own ma'amulat, my own taqwa, my family, my children, my musalli, people of my locality. And then, itunzira umul qara wa hawlaha. Hadib Abadiya rahimahullah put all his ayats. That the people of your locality, itunzira umul qara wa hawlaha. That the people of the locality, and then those surrounding. And then, for the entire humanity. So he would say that you have to make some plan. What is the plan? No, our planning is weak. But you put it before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. After Fajr, alhamdulillah, I'm sitting now. Let's sit after every day after Fajr. Obviously, it won't be so long now. Because Fajr is early, so waiting for Ishraq. At home, the time is much shorter from Fajr to Ishraq. Then I come early for Zuhar. We have to make the niyat. If we don't make the niyat, it won't happen. Because the Hadith Sharif says, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ bin niyat. All actions are based upon the intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مِرْئِمْ مَا نَوَى. Whatever a person will intend, Allah will give it to him. I didn't even make the intention also. It's just a wishful thought in my mind. It will happen. If only we do that for dunya also. They won't say, by dunya, what do you say? You have to make it happen. What do you say? You have to make it. You don't say, no, it will happen. You say, we have to make it happen. But deen, we feel now, it will happen. We'll get there. No, there has to be some effort. So we make the intention, we make a little bit of effort towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Hadith Sharif says, you come 1 handspan, Allah ta'ala comes 2 handspans. Come walking to Allah, let's say, I come running to you. So make the plan to walk to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then you say, Allah will run. So this we have to sit down. And you have to think, whether you put it to paper, or we got our stylus, with style we can write it also. Allah, this is my plan. Present it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is my plan for life. And Allah, you give me tawfiq. Zakim Sahib Rahimullah will say, you have to make the dua. Ya Allah, the courage and energy you have given me for dunya and for my vices and my sins. Ya Allah, let me use that energy and the tawfiq and the courage for deen. Because I've got it in me. I'm moving so many things in dunya, I can move things in deen also. So coming back to my dear brothers, where is our family, how to make effort on them. They also make mashwara that how I can get also in the path of Allah, good company for a good amount of time. Oh, years are coming out now. Years are coming out. We haven't asked them to, I haven't listened to your Quran tilawat. How's your Quran tilawat? How's the tajweed? How's the wuzu? How's the ghusl? Like we never worried. So many years we married. Never even bothered to see also. Say, no, she knows it. But if you go check a little bit, they're also slipping. Just like how we slip. They also begin to slip. Right? Whether they're washing their face correctly, properly, whether they're rubbing the inner part of the eyes, and whether the elbows are wet, washing the feet. Now, sometimes the sinking is so high, and we have difficulty lifting our feet. Ali can get it in there sometime. Now, sometime how should you get in there? Whether the ankles are wet properly, whether they're making masah correctly of the hair also. So all this is, we've got to check it also. We've got to check it. And namaz we find, we did last time mudakara of namaz. Who's going to make mudakara with them? Whether they're standing correctly, whether they're tying their hands correctly, whether they're sitting correctly, whether they're making their tashahud, their sajda and ruku correctly. When's the last time they learnt about namaz? So I have to facilitate this thing. I want to tell them, as you mentioned, alhamdulillah, our families are doing everything for them. So everything, you've got private tutor, private trainer, private upper also. Tell her once a week, call all the ladies of the street, call all the family, call your sisters, everybody, and give her an upper. Alhamdulillah, we'll sort it out. We'll sort it out, give her an upper, 20 ladies, 30 ladies, 10 ladies, or just for the family only. Let her come once a week, twice a week. Once a week, twice a week. And alhamdulillah, in our localities, now we've got plenty of alimas and ma'alimas, alhamdulillah. We've got plenty of them. And they all want to run small maktab, small madrasa. If you got the means, then alhamdulillah, support them. Whether the ladies go to her, or she comes to our house, we've got the facilities, alhamdulillah, house is big enough. So, we've got wuzu khana, they're also in the house. Let her sit down, teach the ladies how to make wuzu, what du'as to read, how to use the miswak. Then how to make ghusl correctly, especially for ladies. Now sometimes they slip up also. They're using nail polish, or they're using Q-tex, and they're using this and that, and sometimes some hair treatment, that the hair becomes waterproof also. It's not correct. Ghusl isn't made. For years it's carrying on like that. Ideally, they got on point of reference and contact, they got on apa. She might not know the Messiah, but she's married from an alim. He knows, he's a mufti sahab. So at least, alhamdulillah, they're getting educated also. Once they will learn the Messiah, once you enter home, they're going to start with your masala masail already. They won't stop talking about it. Then they teach the children also. So we have to give them that opportunity and the chance. Now, the biggest excuse they have, the ladies, either I'm not driving, you didn't let me drive, so how you expect me to go everywhere? Or the other excuse, who will look after the children? I can't take them and park them with me everywhere, because they're trouble. No problem. Let's do it in our house then. Let's do it in our house. No problem. So we'll facilitate everything. Call all the neighbors, all the ladies, all the friends. And I'm there. We're doing it, having occasions and functions, everything. So once a week they're coming, twice a week they're coming. So keep the children busy. Even I have to put one jungle gym there. Put one, whatever it is now. Get something for the children to play outside. We have plenty of helpers, domestics, to take care of them for 1 hour, 2 hours. And you do your post-talib. And then, alhamdulillah, they'll get educated also. Otherwise, the Qiyamah's day, our elders say, it shouldn't be that one woman, if she's destined to the fire of Jahannam, then she won't go alone. And so she'll take 4 men with her. She'll take her father, her brother, her husband, and her son. You didn't educate me. Is that my fault? Because the education part of it in my talim was your responsibility. But you made me cook for you, top chow. House will be squeaky clean, bathroom, toilet, you got OCD and you want it like this and you want it like that. We did everything for you, alhamdulillah, but we never bothered of my talib. I'm not going alone. You used to go in Jamaat, you used to go in the path of Allah, you used to go by your Hazrat, by your Sheikh. Never worried about us. Yes, they'll have a bit of resistance. It's normal that now. Because they feel a bit intimidated, a bit shy. But we have to carry on trying. And they have to open their hearts also. We have to learn. We have to learn. And remember, they say on the day of Qiyamah, ignorance is no excuse. I didn't know. It's not an excuse, I didn't know. Because all the facilities were there. The madrasas, the maktabs, the apas, the muallimas, everything was there. Effort of tabir, the outer carrying on, everything was there. There's no such thing, I didn't know. You could have asked. And the responsibility was your husband's. That is why in the effort of da'wah tabligh, they say every home should be connected to one alim. Ilm and dhikr is part of it. Must be connected. The masturat is to be connected to the mufti sahab, to the alim via a husband. Send a message from his phone. This is a masla. Or he sends a message. Then the husband is not interested. Then she can contact now the alim's family and apa. But she has to have contact somewhere. So we have to facilitate with something very important, my dear brothers. We are, alhamdulillah, we're doing all these efforts of deen, alhamdulillah, shouldn't be just leaving them jahil. Now because I've got so many children, we can still facilitate it. Right? We can take off from the afternoon, put the children in the car and take them away. And this is your time. This is part of our tarteeb. Part of our tarteeb. But as the Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah, when somebody wrote to him, Hazrat, I don't have time to read Quran, Shaykh, involved in teaching this and that. Even when Salim Dwarat Sahib, somebody asked him similar question. Don't have time to read Quran Sharif. I'm so involved in other activities of deen. So the reply was, that you don't have time. It's just that it's not important to you. It's just not important to you. It was important, then you'll make a slot. But what happens usually with Quran Tilawat, what the mind says, if I get time before Asr, I read. If I get time. We don't stipulate the time. This is the time where everything is stopped. What do you say? If I get that time, then I'll just jam it in there. But I'll see after Fajr how I feel now. I'm a bit awake, then I'll just see some Quran then. So it's just now like, by the way, it's just stipulated that is the time for my Quran tilawat, and that's it. Nothing else. And I just gave a few examples also. This is some years ago, we went to meet someone for some madrasa work. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. He had a big wholesale, whatever it was. So, as I said, we went there, so he had a secretary, whoever he or she was, so came to meet the boss. Said, no, he's in a meeting right now. He won't be available for about 1 hour. So I said, okay, we had time, so we sat and we waited. So he's in a meeting right now for 1 hour, he won't be available. We said, we sat there. Another very old, but young man also, but Allah Ta'ala blessed him, entire he's got. So 8 o'clock in the morning, he's already there at work. So after 1 hour, finally, then he sends, calls the secretary, is anybody waiting for me? I'm available now. So as we walked into the office, there's no meeting, there's nobody there. So as we walked in, he's closing Quran Sharif. So I said, salam alaykum. I said, maaf, I didn't know it was you outside. Maaf, karam, I'm sorry about it. He said, no problem. She told me you're in a meeting. He said, maaf, Hazrat. Not a real meeting with people, but my habit is that every morning I come to work for 1 hour, I read my 3 paras first. I read my 3, then I start my day. The Hafiz of Quran, Alhamdulillah, I've studied my Tarawih every hour. What a massive empire. But 1 hour is my meeting with Allah. My meeting with Allah, I take no phone calls and I meet with no one. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing this for years now. I do my 1 para, 3 paras first in 1 hour. For Hafiz of Quran, 20 minutes is 1 para. I do my 3 paras, finish, now I start my day. I say, Subhan, look at this now. This is a deeni business. He's doing tijaratan and thabur, never suffer a loss. So he stipulated in that time, come what may, this is my time for my Quran Sharif. That's it. Whoever may come, doesn't matter. Tell them I'm in a meeting. Don't even tell me who's there outside, I'm reading my Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us sufiq, we have to make it fikr for our human folk and masturat at home. Just as we got fikr for ourselves, inshallah. So what muzakara we made last night also, the only way to remember, before we should go to Raiwind also, alright, now we went in Jamaat, before Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq, before I take up, Alhamdulillah, we went to Raiwind, and we had 8 Pakistani brothers with us, 8 Pakistani brothers with us, and you find that they, Alhamdulillah, when the bayans are given, then they make them in halqas and groups. What you heard, make muzakara, make muzakara, make muzakara. Remind one another. Because the reminder will benefit the believer. So one way to retain it is to make muzakara. What you heard and how to make amal. That's why we're emphasizing on the brothers. Make pairs where I can pair myself with. Check my namaz, please. Before Zuhur, you stand before me, check my sunnah. After Zuhur, I stand before you, behind you, check my sunnah. How I'm sitting, hands tied, everything correctly. Now we have a dini partnership. Abu Bakr Anhu used to say, that the best friend that I can ever have is a friend that finds all my faults and shows me and reminds me, that's a friend of mine. Not a person that sees all my faults and doesn't worry about it. There's no fikr for my akhirat. They're not a friend to me. The friend is the one that will show me my shortcomings. That you slipped up here, you didn't use miswak. Oh, you didn't wash 3 times, you don't blow your nose. Say, that's my friend. He's worried about my akhirat. So you have to have a friend like that. So coming back, pray ourselves, we've got a few days left. So one is to make the mudakara and then to make amal, then you won't forget. If to make mudakara, what we heard, oh, we weren't sure, ask about it, and then let's do it together. For a few days, just do it together. We check my namaz, I check your namaz. I check, not like now, what they say, there's two brothers now. So, they wanted to act like hajis, but they didn't do hajj. There's no problem when you anyway, I call you Haji, you call me Haji. But we both didn't do Hajj. But people say, hey, Hajj is happy. But we both call one another Hajj, but nobody did Hajj. So it shouldn't be like that now. It's Hajj, but really. What's Hajj? We are eating Hajj. I keep my place, shout, hey, that's a friend now. Alright? And, hey, make my tea, you know, I like it. That's on his place, but what about this? This is Dastarkhan, spiritual Dastarkhan. So let's get our namaz right at least, alhamdulillah. Quran Tilawat, we can share how much we... There's a competition right now. How much you read? How much... Hey, come, let's move. Tonight is 27 night. We're not going to sleep. If you're tired, then I'll keep you awake. If I'm tired, you keep me awake. This is a partnership Allah loves. This is a partnership Allah loves. Allah Ta'ala give us a reality. Same partnership we take it back from with the family also. Some make mudakara, but with muhabbat. With muhabbat and piyar. Allah Ta'ala give us the know-how and teach us how to do it, inshallah. So, coming back to the Karguzari, so we had 8 brothers in our Jamaat, Pakistani brothers, and we were 2 South Africans. And alhamdulillah, you find there also, how they are trained in the markaz. What you hear in the bayan, you repeat the same thing. Exactly, word to word, word. The ilan also is standard ilan. All give the same ilan. Ilan sunyan. And they start now. Mera kamyabi, aqab kamyabi, the whole ilan is the same, standard. Go for gush also between 10-20 brothers, the same da'wat. Exactly the same words, all 8 of them. Nothing changed. Same da'wat, same wording, same phrases, everything. Till nothing comes into the heart. Nothing fancy. There's no flowery language. Whatever they told us in markaz, this will be repeating. And for life they repeat it like that. The same da'wat till it comes into the heart. So Allah Ta'ala give us Sufi goes, whatever we learn, we repeat it. Repeat it at home also. But the speaker comes in the Masturat also that Qabr is a reality. Qabr is a reality. So there's something of the mind. Okay, it's far away. Qabr is there, it's calling out every day. So Qabr is a reality. And Hazrat says also, Ajib how he puts it, husband and wife can be living their whole life together. Whole life together, ate together, drank together, traveled together, went everywhere together. And never to separate also sometime. So whole life they were together. Whole life together, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And they passed away together also. Passed away together also, but the haqiqah, the reality is, we were together all our life, but once mort will come, passed away together, oh my wife, you're going in your own qabr. I'm going in my own qabr. Now we're not going to be together. You're going to answer for yourself, I will answer for myself. Here I could have bailed you out in dunya. You can help me out, I help you out. But in qabr, no ways. Now you separated. You going to your qabr, I'm going to my qabr. You will answer for your amal, I will answer for my amal. That's a reality. We are sort of traveling, weight, this, that. Story, I'll sort it out. Qabr, they will get sorted out. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But you remain tayari before that. So to remind them, Hazrat says, sit down with the family and ask them, what's the niyat of life? What's your niyat of life? You have living with me so many years. What do you want from me? Ask her. And see what reply she'll give you. She will not answer really. But you're living with me. What do you want from me? She hasn't made a niyat yet. We're just carrying on. What do you want from me really? Alhamdulillah, we got everything. And we're still giving more. Alhamdulillah. What do you want really? There's no plan. Because qabr is something now, just in the mind, you will get there, you will get through. You will get through. Doesn't happen like that. Because you sit down with the wife and ask her. Young couples now, they're getting married, it's only about honeymoon. I've traveled the world. Travel together the world, that's it. We travel the world together. Like one Instagram couple they are, Instagram couple. And instant gratification, what is done now? Now, everything online, just pay for it, and we can do this. What's your need of life with me? Shouldn't mean I just become one ATM. That's it, just become one ATM. Right, that now makes so big pockets in my kurta that the machine can put in there also. Anytime she wants anything, ATM. The notes are rolling. What's your niyat of life? Then if you really think about it, I'm only in your own ATM at home. That's it. That little dini talk also, you're too heavy. But everything else is not heavy. Price too, no problem, sort it out. So what's your niyat of life? You're living with me, what do you want from me? And then ask yourself also, that you're living with the wife, what's it about? Just now she must cook some nice food. When I come home, this is the menu, and this is it just that only? Sadrat says, what is your niyat of life? Now make the niyat together. Whether if you write it down, we turn in the sadhi so long also, open that group also on the WhatsApp between you and the wife. We will discuss everything, make just one group, jannati couple or dini couple or whatever it is, what's our niyat of life? What's your ma'amulat for the day? And let her ask you, what's your ma'amulat? There we are afraid. She asks me, Qadir, read the nights for us. She asks me, read your nights for us. I haven't read it. And years are carrying on like that. And I think, no, I'm going to Jannat. I'm going to Jannat. And she's reading it. Most of them are reading it, alhamdulillah. Then you see how we lagging behind and they're going ahead. So this we are afraid to do it. But dunya work, alhamdulillah, is roaring. Dunya work, we got this taqaza, all the chores are coming. 1 to 10. We'll drop off, pick up, tea, this, that, EFT. There is on month after month after month. But there's no talk of deen at all, nothing. Like we're afraid to talk about it. She's afraid to talk about it. Then you're getting too heavy, then you're too pious, then you're too holy, and you're too... But if you say a little bit, we're a bit too extravagant, then we've got a problem. Now, only the tissues for the dawat cost so much. Only the tissues, you know, throw it away. And we know as men also, we go for the dawat, the serviette is like the taklif for us. That is folded, we just scratch it and put it under the plate. No, we need to use it. But that costs so much now. Now we're afraid to say, you know, to throw my money away. Just on tissues only. Like for us men, you put one toilet roll, it's good enough to do the job. We don't have a problem. We don't have a problem, alhamdulillah. Right, multi-purpose it is. For the nose, for the face, toilet also, no problem. For us, it's too good, alhamdulillah. And you know, the more fancy the tissue, you only can rub your nose with it also. It doesn't absorb anything. Right, so it's only for decoration purposes. And we got the whole team of young girls now only putting serviettes. How to put the thing this way and that way. Their life is getting wasted also. We let it happen. Right, whether it's salah, opulence, this or show it is, but we're letting it happen now. But a little bit deeny thing now, that becomes a problem at home. So alhamdulillah, we're allowing everything to happen. So let's allow deen to happen also. We're not saying high forward now. But slowly, so we take our baby steps towards Allah together. Happy will do it. Khushi say. But happiness will do it. And encouragement will do it. Without putting anybody down. Encouragement. Like this, alhamdulillah, let's get moving together in the path of Allah. Learn our deen together. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we make these niyats. We make the plan. And start introducing it at home, slowly, inshallah. When they will come onto deen, then our house will become a beautiful place. Children will learn deen also. And the environment in the home, they will teach them about deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. And for those brothers, some brothers are staring at me also. Because now they got no bibi at home. So Mufti Sahib, you're talking about the wife. Give us a wazifa for the wife. Give us a wazifa. For the wife, so we can also make a plan, inshallah. So make niyat also, Allah, give me a wife also, they'll help me on my deen. They'll help me on my deen, and will make facilitate my akhirat, my qabr, and will make my life easy in dunya also, and for the qabr also, at least now, together we'll learn to move ahead. So, Ya Wazaif Hazrat gave us also, for those that want to get married, he will say 11 times Zurul Sharif, 111 times Ya Jami'u. 11 times Durood Sharif, 111 times Ya Jami'u, and 11 times Durood Sharif again. This we're giving permission and we're giving the wazifa to those that don't have a wife. Those that have a wife, they can read for those that don't have it. Allah Ta'ala please sort him out. Hazrat will say also that you must read and tell your parents also to read for you. But your father will make niyat for you. Therefore, himself. And very quickly, inshallah, Ta'ala will. Allah will do it, Ya Jami'u, the one that makes Jama, that combines, that unites people together. Ya Allah, unite me with the correct wife. So little bit we take the names of Allah. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. It's the name, attribute of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We make dua to the name of Allah. So Ya Jami'u, Ya Allah, how you unite people together? Ya Allah, just one wife, send for me that I can unite with her in your muhabbat, in your love. Allah Ta'ala make it easy, inshallah. So we'll just finish this chapter, Tarbiyat of Awlad, inshallah. So yesterday we mentioned a few things about the eating, the diet of a child that is wholesome, healthy, halal food that we prepare for the children, inshallah. When the need arises for girls to leave the home precincts, do not adorn them with jewelry. So from young already, this tarbiyat starts not from the time they're 7, 8 years old. Ulama of Nizamuddin would tell us from the Kandihlavi family, mashallah, awliya came from there. So when they were asked, when do you start the tarbiyat of the child? So the reply was, from the time the mother gets to know this is expecting. Before the child is born, the tarbiyat starts from the mother's tarbiyat. How she's going to be careful in regards to her taqwa. That will have an impact on the child. And that when the child is 7 years old. From already before that, her Quran tilawat, her zikr, her fikr, that has an impact on the unborn child. And when the child comes, the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahimullah, his honorable father, Muli Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he said, by the time he was able to start speaking, he knew more than a half of Surah Al-Baqarah. He was already reading it. Because during his mother's pregnancy, so much of Quran she used to read. So much of Quran she used to read. When we mentioned this to one of the brothers, also one of our students, so he said he also read one article. There was a scientist doctor in America studying the formation of the embryo and the child in the embryo. So he says that the child in the embryo also has perceptions. So for the duration of his wife's pregnancy, every day he would read half an hour the encyclopedia to the tummy of his wife. So when the child was born and began to speak at so and so age, the child was already quoting an encyclopedia. Was familiar with it. So we said, we know about this. The Shaykh Rahimahullah, his father already read Surah Al-Baqarah from the time he began to speak. So that's why we're so careful for our mothers also when they're expecting. Which doctors they go to, where they go out, take them to eat here, take them to eat there, what they're consuming, what they're taking in has an impact on the unborn child. Has an impact on the unborn child. So their taqwa has to be in place. And they say also this woman of the family, Kandihlavi family, from the time they come to her, they're expecting for the next, for the 9 months, don't come in the kitchen. 9 months of Quran tilawat. Only Quran, tasbihat, zikr, dua, namaz, amal, and ta'lim. So when the children are born, they're already born awliya. They're born pious already. Just because of the mother. So they have to be so careful, the mothers. They are the ones that are producing the men of the ummah. So she has to be prepared now. These are the men I'm going to produce. That will stand on the minbar, the mihrab. They will be making the imamah. They'll be educating, they'll be leading the people. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ imamah. Allah Ta'ala makes them the imamul muttaqeen. So this should be her aspiration for the mother. But this will come and allow her the ta'lim and inspire her with deen. So when it comes to girls also, unfortunately we find Muslim girls, sometimes they've got no pants, short dresses, their hands all are showing. And now tell the girl later on, wear a burqa, cover your legs, what she's going to say, I'm feeling hot. So from young already they have to be trained. For the boy also has to be trained. From young already, kurta, topi for the young girl, they have to be trained. So this is only garb, you know. Anything else, I'm not comfortable. This is how it should be, especially our environment, we live in a kufr environment. But from young already, with muhabbat, piyar, dress them up accordingly to Islamic standards. So for the girls to leave the home also, and to be adorned with jewelry and perfume, etc., it's against the dictates of Sharia, even though they are young. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he would teach us also, when young girls come, don't tell your young daughter or granddaughter, go make salam with the men. Don't send her there. Even she's 4 or 5 years old already, don't get her used to shaking men's hands. Don't get her used to that. And then he will say, okay, Sunday ulama come, bring our little daughters. And then he wouldn't shake their hands. He will tell them that we bring her, put a burqa on for her. Put the burqa on, then he will put his hand on the head. So you, the girl will come, make salam, say, put the hand on the head. So he say, wa alaikum salam, to make dua for them. But no shaking of the hands. Put the hand on the burqa and make dua for her. So she shouldn't get accustomed now. And this, unfortunately, we force the young girl. Eid day will come, make salam with uncle, Kala's husband. Now, she shouldn't get accustomed and used to all of this. He's carrying her, he's playing with her. Yes, a little bit now and then, but then she becomes of 8, 6, 7 years old. Because the sharam and hayam has already come in her. And she was, no, now is that a mahram to me? And some homes in the year, they say, you're too heavy now. She's only 6, 7 years old. Parda, 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 parda. Find a problem with it. But then when she gets bigger, then she doesn't want to make parda now. Now I want to sit with my cousins, I want to move with them, with their uncle and his uncle. Why I can't go for holiday with my auntie? But your auntie's husband is not a mahram to you. But she's so used to him now. She's so used to him now, and he also doesn't want to give it up. Now she's married also. Each day he wants to come and hug her, give her a kiss. Now she's married. So Alim, he's boiling there. He can handle his uncle now. He'll assassinate him now, bhai. Alright, how do you hold my wife? He says, hey, she grew up front of me. She grew up front of me. But it's haram what you're doing right now. She's my wife now. And then she says, now you make it so heavy now. Now I must make contact with my uncle and all. Where he started from? From the time she was young. Now you're breaking up the family. Breaking up the family is when you break the command of Allah. Not when you keep the command of Allah. But somehow we become the bad ones, like breaking up the family. But you're keeping the command of Allah. Yeah, but you're too heavy. There's no such thing as now. This molestable masail are too heavy. There's no heavy and light masail. Sharia is Sharia. Absolutely modded and is there for your protection. You have to understand, it's there for our protection. So you already let the girls do these things now. Meet this one, meet that one. Shake his hand, make sure now. And when they grow up, then it's very difficult. So he gets married, now we want a good boy. When the good boy comes now, we say, he's too heavy now. He's breaking up the family. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding to bring deen on our lives. And when deen will come, then life will become very, very beautiful. Alhamdulillah, many families and satis, mashallah, and now they're segregated Eid also. Men and in the beginning now, then they will complain. That even the mother will say, wife will say, no, you must separate everything. Now all these years we eat together. And then somehow they try to make some plan. Alright, what we'll do now? Put 2-3 men over here and they'll put the ladies, your wife here, your wife there, so he can't see her. So we'll make all this plan like this now. All this plan like this. And now we're going to play with Allah Pak's Sharia. No, it's alright now, that's so bad. Why are you going to make it so heavy? And when they come with the excuse, now you're going to separate everything. Now we're going to set double tables. Alright? So you tell, no problem, how many tables you want to buy, we'll buy it. Double tables, and we don't have so many dinner sets. Now, we have all double dinner sets now. And double platters, and double spoons. No problem. We'll do it. We get another domestic to even wash it too. No problem. But give the command of Allah. So this excuse that I have now, that you want everything separated, now you must sort it out. Because the men separate. Lady, and when they do it after that, then they'll thank you for saying, hey, you know what, that's so nice. No men over here, tell them, hey, sir, don't come over here. Only ladies, we relaxed now. We relax now, we can take out our scarf and burqa, we can make our noise, we can talk loudly also, alhamdulillah, and no one will tell us, shh, you're talking too loud. Yeah, you've got your own space, you've got your own space, you go sit outside in the garage. Sit outside in the garage, and they're very comfortable. And to serve the men becomes easy, just send the children, you just ask Papa, they need anything, otherwise we have to run up and down. Alright, so just line up the boys there also, they're 10, 11 years old, they can serve you all. Very good, alhamdulillah. And they relax, and the men are relaxed also. And they say, Hamdul, after all these years, hey, what a bounty this is now. This is now, we're really enjoying ourselves. So there's no tension, there's no stress. And then, if we have to serve the men, that you'll go for namaz, we'll finish eat, we'll set the table again, if we don't have the space, so when you all come, they were ready for you all. By the time we are finished. You know, everybody's relaxed, alhamdulillah. So we just have to initiate it slowly. So especially when it comes to our girls, their sharam, their haya, there's much detail also how to maintain their sharam and their haya. Hazrat says it starts from the taharat, from the ghusl. That now we are allowing them to stand up and the glass is not frosted also. And unclothed is a din sharam and haya. We'll be training them already to walk on the beach with hardly any clothes. We're training them already in their own bathrooms. So yes, for the mastura, they must sit in bath. For the man also. Sahaba-e Ikram, this we have absolute sharam and modesty and haya and bashfulness in privacy also. Even in privacy. Now the bathrooms have become, now there's no doors anymore now. The bathroom and toilet and bedroom is all one. That's become a fashion that now. That you're sitting on the bed and you can see somebody sitting on the pen. So it's become like one style and fashion. So those that have bathrooms also, now everybody's standing up. And we hear so commonly now, nani ma, dadi ma, slipped in the bathroom, hip replacement. What happened? Too much of steam, got gabarat. He got steam now, couldn't take the steam, slipped. So by doesn't nani ma, dadi ma sit on a chair? No, they're standing and bathing. Inna lillahi. Put one chair there, and now you get, mashallah, very nice bathroom chairs also. Backrest and handrest and everything also. No problem. And the shower head, we can change it. The shower head we have, you can take it out for a 2-meter long hose. Well, the telephone style, the phone style, this thing, put a hook over there, alhamdulillah. It's done. Need to about to use the shower handle. Now, your entire ghusl has become according to sunnah. According to sunnah, everybody sitting down, having a bath. So this culture of standing up also has destroyed the sharam of a woman folk. I've destroyed it completely. Because now, they don't feel shy. And clothes now standing up. Where you should cringe, ya Allah, even in privacy we should cringe and dress up quickly. Not that we remain unclothed. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding how these things now have destroyed the sharam and haya from our little girls from young already. That's why even we bathing them, the mothers, if we have a small baby chair there in the shower also, sit down and I'll bath you. Not standing up. So they grow up like that. After being shy, then they run around like that also. So we have to engender the sharam and haya in them. Is that going to happen naturally? Emphasize to girls not to play with boys. The character of both girls and boys will be corrupted by intermingling. Now what do you say? Hey, but this is masum, they're young. So I always say, ask yourself when you were 7 years old, were you backwards about girls or you knew? So when they ask the father, say, no, I knew everything. So what do you think? Your son doesn't know anything. So you know what he knows? They know, we know how to react innocently. Right? We know how to act innocently. That's why our Kabir say, the two people you never trust. Two people you never trust. Your own children and your students. In front of you, they're in the best behavior. They're like farishtas. We all did it before. But what was happening behind the scenes, we knew. The father said, my son, alhamdulillah. We said, alhamdulillah. But we knew already what planning. And unfortunately, now these parents, they believe, my son can never be. Ajeeb. Before it wasn't like that. Father just heard, the boy was smoking. First he'll get one clap, then he start talking. Today is different. No. Can never be my son. Never. Can't happen. Can fight with those stars and all also. But he's a chore. But he can act. So never trust. We don't say now, I have suspicion all the time. But if something has to come forth, then don't ever say, never my son, never my child. Can't be. No, you will investigate it first. But they say, students also, from the ustaz, mashallah, all are buzruks, awliya. Once the ustaz walks out of the class, then the ball is out. Now the ball is out and they're playing ball, etc., and one boy is keeping, what they call it, araf. They're keeping check by him. The imam is coming, all buzruks in the class. What was happening before that? How they were imitating the ustaz also, TK, sahih, chalo, all over them. They copied the ustaz, all the takya kalam. Ya Mana chose, carry on repeating these words. TK, chalo bhai. And when they come, they go, oh, like buzruks now. Hey, mashallah, look at these boys, awliya. So behind the scenes now, they're flicking the ustaz also, and they're flicking the teacher also. It's normal, that Arab Muhabbat, they're doing it. So they say, don't ever trust your students, don't ever trust. So we add one to that also. Don't ever trust your musallis. So when they come in the masjid, hey, Morana. When you go outside, his car is, somebody blocked him. Oh, then you see his colors. Then you see his colors, guns blazing. Yeah, brother, they're so humble, he's never. Then Morana, that's the guy. He lifted the guy in the parking lot. So that guy comes, he comes to the masjid walking like that, he makes salam like that. Hey, what a wonderful chap he is. Outside you should have seen him. And his vocab you won't find in the dictionary also. He said, can't be, man. He tasbihat over here, after Jummah, Friday, 80th, Durud Sharif, and alhamdulillah. Say, but outside is something else. Then you say, my musalli can't be. Allah protect us. But you know it's happening. So students, children, etc., we all please remain cautious and alert. Always remain cautious and alert. We never know, and we've been through so much already. Even mothers and daughters also. My daughter, never. But when you do the investigation and open the chat, etc. How you did this? Now they have to eat the words up. So we are always to be alert. Because we went through it also. We know how we bluffed our fathers, how we got our things done, how they still thought we were honest and they trusted us, etc. So Allah Ta'ala give us that understanding, understand the situations, inshallah. So emphasize to girls not to play with boys. The character of both girls and boys will be corrupted by intermingling. From the time they are young, yes, now they're 2, 3 years old, 4 years old. Once they become of an age, they can understand things. They can understand things. And you hear them talking, sometime when they're doing whatever it is now they're playing. Then they tell about you, girl, I'm boy. When they come to Eid now, she say, why you got 20 and I got 10 and go, I'm boy, you girl. They say, oh, he knows now. He knows girl and boy. He knows girl. Oh, she'll tell him, but why you can go mosque, masjid? Say, because I'm boy, you girl can't come. Already 4 years old, they understand that. If you're a girl, you can't come. And if they know parada in the house also, the boy is only 4 years old. So he 4 years old, and his mother is coming to the lodge. I mean, you can't come the Mina here. 4 years old, he understands, bhai. He said, no, he's small, what he knows. No, he knows. Tell his mother, don't come here, the boy is here cleaning. Don't come outside now, he'll shout. 4 years old, he understands also, because he learned parada in the house. So from there you can understand, they're not small. They're already comprehending. But you're allowing it to happen. So from there already now it becomes difficult for them to stop this intermingling. If a boy from another house comes to your home, instruct the girls to go out of sight, even if the boy is small. Even if the boy is small, don't allow. He's an outside boy, and this we shouldn't allow also. We shouldn't allow our sons to go to other people's homes. And if other boys come to our home, we should be very careful also. Alright, because you know each child has his own background, his own habits, his own language. Alright, and we, you know, in the madrasa, we see it happening every day. This boy came from a very good home. That boy came with some different habits. And just one majlis only, in one break. What that boy heard from this boy, he never heard in 10 years. And in just in one this thing, he picked up so many things. Or he got exposed to so many things. And it's unbelievable the impact it has on his mind. And he just takes to it. And just overnight, this boy was my son. And now, he's my enemy now. Oh, because you don't let me do this, you don't let me do that. Where you got all the ideas from? No, my friend, father got him cell phone, and he got him this, and he can do this. He don't let me do it. Where you got the ideas from? Just say one majlis only. And he got influenced. Already got influenced. In our house, we do this, we do that. My father is cool, my mother also is cool. My mother got her me time, my father got his time, and they allow us also. But my father doesn't allow us to do anything. The tarbiyah got spoiled. So you should be very careful that the friends, they choose who will allow them to intermingle, and it's become a challenge right now, especially going to Hifz classes, they go to madrasa. How much you're going to control? Only can make dua for them, but you can educate them. That's why we tell the fathers, take your sons to the masjid, and en route to the masjid, that's the time for son and father to talk. To make that dosti and that friendship. The way we can talk to him is a man's talk. And let's talk to you and me. Alright, so certain things now we can't talk with the ladies in front of us at home. Because we might over some topics with the son at home, we might get in trouble sometime. So we can talk together now, you and me. Alright, so we don't have to take everything back home. We can talk about what's happening in the madrasa. Who's troubling you? Or who you troubling? Or who you don't like in the madrasa? Maybe the one guy. Sometimes you talk their language also. We ask him, if anybody is troubling in the madrasa? You know, nobody. I'm sure. Maybe in a break one guy there. I'll help you also. So, yeah. You say, yeah, the guy is bullying me. Then you got the story. Sometimes you got to put the words in their mouth. You got to put the words in their mouth. Then you see how they start talking. You ask the young boy, but you tell him, nobody weeping. No, nobody weeping in madrasa. He tell you that. You put this thing. Some words in his mouth. Alright. You know, I came to a madrasa the day, I smelled something in the toilet there. I smelled like something. You know, whether it was a spray, or whether it was some vape or something. You smelled it. He said, yeah, I smelled it. Then you start talking after that. Then you see how the stories will come out after that. So you're going to make him innocent. And make everybody else guilty in the class. Then he start talking. He said, no, I don't do anything. I don't do anything. The boys, I just heard them talking and exchanging the vape. And this, then you hear all the stories coming out. Yeah, Allah, he's only 10 years old and he knows all these things already. Because that boy is exposed. His father is smoking it in the car. We don't do these things at home. But now he's already exposed. He knows all these things and it'll be shocking. We don't even talk these things at home. Now to combat it. Now you got to educate him now. He doesn't get caught later on in life. Another boy comes from another house, you should be even more careful. Tell the girls to go out of sight. If any children come to you, do not take service from them. Treat them like your own children. When a child is obstinate, stubborn, and demanding something, do not fulfill his demand. Now it's become a major issue. Instant gratification. They want it now. I want it now. So, I know when you were young, and we asked our parents anything, the father would say, we'll see. But they say, we'll see. So I took the C to be S-E-A. And he will see. C is very big, but he's not going to come by. When you get that reply, we'll see. What it means? Carry on seeing. Ocean is very big. Go to Durban Beach. Tindimana Beach, go and carry on seeing. He's not going to come. So, since he's demanding anything, don't fulfill his need. A person once made a statement of great wisdom which deserves to be written in gold. He said that if a child requests something, either fulfill the request at that time, or if you have refused the request, They do not fulfill its the stubbornness of the child. Even if it cries and demands it, if you submit to the child's obstinacy, it will develop this habit. I get my way. So don't ever give it when it throws a tantrum. You have to weather the storm now. You have to weather the storm and don't allow, when the child is used to that, that I will get my way, then he'll use his tactic all the time and he'll just get stronger. And then the time will come when he gets big and he threatens his mother also. He threatens his mother, if you don't give me, if you don't, then I'll do this or I'll do that, or I'll jump from the flat, or I'll do this, all those things. Now he's destroying himself also. The father's also students for the mother says, don't give it to him. Fathers nowadays they do it. Mother said, don't give it to him, he just come quietly. Then you go give him the thing. Not right. And especially the grandparents. It's always a fight. Always a fight. Grandparents say, see, they come over here, don't tell us what to do. But we're not allowing them to eat these things. We don't give it to them. We try to keep them healthy. But what the daddy nani says, no, when they come here, don't tell us what to give, not to give them. They should learn also. We're trying to make tarbiyat of the children. So don't spoil it. Now he knows, every time he goes to nani's house, why? There's a chore over there now. There he's free. He can open the fridge, open the cupboards, take what he wants, and he's got free hold. So there's tarbiyat gets spoiled after that. But yes, sometimes now grandparents, they are softer now. So the parents have to understand a little bit leeway also. When they go to the grandparents' house, a little bit they will be a bit spoiled. And it's normal. There's nothing wrong with that also. But obviously, keep it healthy also. Keep it healthy, not now given such things that are detrimental to the health. But the child got eczema, the child got asthma. So what the grandparents say, never mind, little bit he can eat over here. Let him have some cold drink here, some cold milkshake, and how much ice cream. No, you know he's going to get sick. And then after that, parents will take him to the doctor. They're going to sit over there. They're going to pay the bills after that. So there has to be some balance in this too. So don't give in to the stubbornness of the child. Now these people rear the child like cows. They are well fed and fattened. The end of the fattened cattle is a slaughterhouse. People feed their children well, adorn them and rear them in luxury. The ultimate end of such children is hellfire. Allah Pak protect. For just giving them dunya. And deen, they starve him. Parents have no time to morally train their children. No religious education is imparted to them. And if they send to madrasa also, make it the ustad's responsibility. That he must make the tarbiyat. It must happen at home. Ustad has a limitation what he can do with the child, and his time also is limited. The values of the child is in at home, from the parents. So they have to teach the children. They have to teach the children what is right, respect of elders, etc. It's very important. Especially respect is very, very, very important. Where to speak, how to speak, who to speak to, when not to speak. They have to learn this adab. They have to learn these etiquettes, how to carry themselves out in public and with elders. More importance is given to secular studies, extracurricular activities and sports. So then they understand the child also psychologically, but this is not important. This is very important. Right? That now we've got sports today, we've got excursion today, and the parents don't even emphasize in the child also, madrasa, you can't be madrasa. You have to go to madrasa. That's more important than all the schooling and everything else. But the parents don't have it in their heart. Madrasa is secondary. Then when things become difficult, then now they go to Morana. Morana, please sort of person, talk to him. But that age of his, 10 to 18, 13 to 18, such a vital time of his life. Whatever you're going to give him now, is to be with him the rest of his life. That's it. And we mentioned this before also. If you were left to adopt bad habits in that period of our life, 10, 11, 12, 13, till around 18, parents left us. Didn't really bother. The same habits now we're taking to our marriage. We mentioned this a few days ago. So the same things. And major problems in the marriage is because of the habits. Parents left the child, Sunday sleep till Zohar. When you got married also, Sunday you sleep till Zohar. I said, but we're all awake, waiting for you now. Children are at home also, they're already awake. They want to have breakfast, and you sleep till Zohar. Bad habit. My parents with me. Let me sleep whenever I want to, eat when I want to. So the wife says, a dysfunctional home. I came from a home where there was tartib. And tartib, we have to have tartib and some pattern, schedule, timetable, and roster in our homes. What time to wake up, what time to sleep. Right now, 5 o'clock, you're still sleeping, everything is closed. Right, like a sahibul kahfi. People of the cave, don't wake up. Children are all over shouting, don't hear anything. Why? Because parents allowed it. The parents got him up the time, whether it's Sunday or Saturday, or allow you 1 hour, 1 2 hours more. But if you wake up and start moving now, with chores to be done, work to be done, but we just left them, no responsibility also, no tartib. In the house also, dysfunctional, we don't eat together, eat when you want to. Come in the kitchen, eat when you want to. Right? You can make the food hot, eat in your bed, eat in the room, mess the room also, no problem. Nobody told him anything. Now he got married, the wife said, no, I can't handle this man. You got no time to eat, we eat as a family, you come your own time, now you know go toilet, now you know go, there's time to eat, and now don't know how to clean the kitchen also. Why habits he formed? Those years are so crucial of the boy's life. This is the biggest problem we're having in marriages right now. Either the girls are not sane or the boys are not sane. And either side now can't manage now. Habits. Either he is just too relaxed, alright, or she's too rigid, or the other way around, we just can't live with this man, or he can't live with her. And she also, we have this complaint, many a man also, see, I got my time, I leave for work at this time. But I say, my breakfast, no, she's sleeping that time. Doesn't make you breakfast. No, I just buy something on the way from the shop, and I eat in the car. Oh, so doesn't make lunch for him also, doesn't pack lunch for him, doesn't make breakfast for him also. And if she has to wake up early, because she needs to go to the gym. So you set yourself out. You sort your typical Western lifestyle. He's pouring his coffee, she's got her coffee, they're half walking this way, that way. Right, see your love tonight, these, that, and this come, and just do a few things together now. Right, we're sharing the bills, and sharing the cooking, and sharing everything. So we're like now roommates. Instead of couples, and the children are just in between also. And who's taking care of them? Domestic. I just make his milk, just do this, just do that. She knows better. And sometimes even for the husband also, the domestic is doing everything. The domestic is doing everything, just one thing she's not doing. Everything else she's doing. So the wife is just there now, on display. So Hazrat says now, the many a boy, so when they get married, and ask him, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Hazrat says, what they tell us also, hey, maybe Lambi, Patri, Manjari, must be tall, she must be green eyed, and she must be slim and trim. Hazrat says, Arabi, you look in the mirror how you look. What do you got to offer? So be realistic. Be realistic, see what you got to offer also. And if you're looking for a model like that, on the cover page, then she'll model in your house, and she'll model out with everything also. Say, hey, what happened? She took the janhu also, the jewelry went, the crude coins went, so much of dowry we gave her. So she modeled in. She got secure everything, she modeled out also. She's gone now. Because you're looking for that. They say, look for a housewife. So we've got to train our daughters to be housewives also. Not only about themselves. So they must learn to make khidmat. Learn how to pack the dishwasher, the washing machine. They just finished matric. She's academic. Now she gets married. Doesn't know anything about washing. Doesn't know anything about washing pots and pans. This is the skill Allah Pak has given them. This is what makes a home. This makes tarbiyat of our children. This will win husband's love and muhabbat. And Allah will love her for that. Allah will love us and enslave them. Out of muhabbat we do it. Now they come with an argument now. But what does Sharia say? To cook for him. They have to cook for him. They have to wash for him. Yes, understand the masla, my dear brothers. There's two terms we use in fiqh. Qada'an and diyanatan. Qada'an means in the court of the qadi, Islamic judge. Is that her responsibility? If now, if she has to take you to the qazi and say that he's abusing me, but I don't cook for him, and I don't wash his clothing, and I don't do these things over here, she's got a case. She's got a case, you can't force him. You must get a sadim, attendant, domestic helper to do all these things in the house. But by Allah, diyanatan, she'll be questioned that why you did, what was the inside factor within you? Was it spite? Was it just you felt it? Is that a duty to you? What was it? For that should be questioned. For that should be questioned that why didn't you do these things? Yes, she has a valid Sharia excuse. Then she'll be given a break. But just so it shows the motivation in the heart of Qiyamah, then she'll be asked. The husband requested you to cook a meal. He said, I'm not interested. Is that my duty? Is that my responsibility? What was the motivation? What was it behind you? So she'll be taken to task in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. She'll be taken to task. So it doesn't mean now just, I don't have to do these things. Alright, and what makes a woman not do it? What is it? What makes her not do it? It is muhabbat and love in the home, she wants to do everything. And the husband also wants to do everything. So, as Mayus Qadir Sahib Rahman will say, if she wants to live a life on this huquq, kitabul huquq, the rights of, what's my rights? And the husband lives on his rights also, we're only living what? Rights in huquq. That's our home. It's only rights. What's your rights? I've noted down my rights. Right. That's it. Living on only what I have to do and I don't have to do. That's our home now. That's our home. And of course, we're coming to that too. Some couples recently also, woman comes with a pre-marriage contract. Pre-marriage contract. Bichara, he almost about to get married. Youngster came to see me. They said everything went through already, alhamdulillah. And this and that, she's a working woman. So I told her, see, you know, start working. And you got to think about it now. I was teaching somewhere. So everything was set. Nikah date was set, everything. They're going shopping, etc. Then he receives a message, WhatsApp, pre-marital contract. Bichara was shaking after that. Right? And she got the contract over there. That before we got married, you know that we're not married as yet. I'm teaching in a certain institution, etc. And I have friends across the spectrum, male and female. So these are the conditions. That if I'm going out to eat with my friends, you have no right to ask me where I'm going, how I'm going, when I'm coming back. With who I'm going, whether it be male friends or female friends. Is that your business? This is my time, because you're aware I'm teaching, I have male associates also. So, you shouldn't even ask me, and all these conditions. And if anything does have to happen between us and the marriage, then don't bring Quranic ayats and ahadith to discipline me. To discipline me or bring these things over here now to send me on a guilt trip. Where we'll sort our problems like this. And we'll save up money to go for a holiday every year. And all these things, all these conditions, etc., etc. And either a male associate comes to pick me up also, is that your business to ask me who came to pick me up and where I'm going? So all these conditions, Bichara fell down. He fell down and said, you know, okay, I'm not so this thing, but now this is way beyond. Way beyond, I can't understand now where this thing is coming from, premarital contract. So we're going to that level right now, premarital. So this is huquq and rights. We're just living together. We're just living our own lives together. And when we meet together, we'll meet now. Otherwise, you sort your supper out, you sort your lunch, you sort your breakfast out. You should not play the radio recital loudly. That will inconvenience. That's the neighbor's huquq. So let's finish this one over here now. When it comes to children, just to fatten them, Hazrat mentions also that now it has become where the parents don't worry about the children. They must go to school, madrasa, and they must come right. The educators must sort them out. Then Hazrat will say that we're putting them in such schools, such expensive schools, where there's no Islamic ethos at all. And we're paying the price of it also. Hazrat would use these words also. He would say that, so to say, the school tells you that you fatten them, you clothe them, you feed them, you spend on them, you do all of that, send them to us, and their heart and their mind belongs to us. He said, what they do? They rape their minds. They rape their minds. The child listens more to his friends and educators than to his parents. But you must feed me and you must pay the fees. But I'll do everything against you. So what kind of education system is that? That I'm paying for the education and you hate me. And you hate me. Well, I'm your greatest benefactor. But your friends are closer to you and you listen to them. And I'm paying the bills. And I'm paying the bills, but you hate me. How can that happen? Where the Islamic system is different, where you are taught to love your parent. رَبِّ رَحْمُهُمَا Allah have mercy upon them as they made my tarbiyat and brought me up when I was young. But here it's different now. Father becomes a slave, mother becomes a slave. But they opted to send him now to that type of institution. That's what he's going to learn. Allah Ta'ala protect us and give us understanding as parents also. How to give them the correct education. Quality time must be spent with the children. Is that only the responsibility of the Imam or Marana to teach those children Islamic knowledge? It is first the parents' duty. Just as time is allocated for everything else, Time must daily be allocated for teaching and training one's children. Some satis, Allah's fazl, that after Isha they sit with their families, they have hafana wa ta'aleem, and ask the children, what's happening in school, what can I do for you, what do you need? My brother told me the other day, he said, I was so naughty. Right, even the police used to come after me also. So naughty I was as a young boy, but he says, my father, whenever I will go to him, he will ask me, beta, you okay? Anything troubling you? And what the thing father was telling him? You have any problems, anything troubling you? Tell me, I'll make dua for you. Tell me, I'll make dua for you. What a beautiful thing. He says, I put my father on my head now. What a man he was. Anything troubling you, anybody troubling you, I'll make dua for you. Because father's duas are accepted. So time has to be taken out to sit with them, take our guzari, our school, what you did, madrasa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no father has ever given a child a gift that is more superior to good manners. The Talmud rahmatullah alayhi says, I am always advising that during school holidays, children who are attending school should be left in the company of the pious and Ahlullah. We send them in the path of Allah. Either by one sheikh who stays there a little while, 5 days, 10 days, 2 days, 3 days, we sit there. You learn something. You will learn something good. But you have to spend the time there. Hazrat says, now you can sit in i'tikaf, but sit in the cubicle. So I passed the time. So I'm going to sit in the program to get the full benefit. Or send them in the path of Allah, if they're of age, see the good Amir, send them. Allah's fazal and shukr. When you were young in staying, alhamdulillah, there we had the opportunity, age 12, 13, right, we had elders over there that would take us in the path of Allah. And I can see, alhamdulillah, with happiness and pride, for example, that is sitting over here, Allah Ta'ala give you good health and long life, afiyat. So they would take us in Jamaat from that age. Now remember, the first thing he emphasized in our life, the first thing Ali Ibrahim told us is Namaz with Jamaat, Namaz with Jamaat, Namaz with Jamaat. That Ali Ibrahim, that was the first thing. First thing after Quran was Namaz with Jamaat, that stuck in the head. Namaz with Jamaat, not in the home. So from that age already the impact was there. Although we were naughty, everything, we take the football and have everything, but Talim, Tam, Piyar, and Muhammad sit by. So the fazail of salah with jamaat. So already from that age, you were afforded that opportunity. Alhamdulillah, this must be in about 1989, I think. 1989, 1990, or before that also. I remember the first time we went in jamaat, we went for 10 days. That time we were naughty also. Still naughty. So by that time we were more naughty. And that time in jamaat, when the boys are sleeping, what do you do? Put the piece in the ears, put the piece in the ears. You do all those naughty things, you know. It's all fun it was. But then that time we learnt also, and then finally we came to Shab Guzari, all young boys, 13, 14 years old. Madrasa Jamaat is my friend, size boys. And how many became ulama from there? Alhamdulillah. How many became ulama from the same Jamaat? Right? Only Hashim Ghori, and only Fahim, only Yaqub Lady, and all his ulama were all together in the Hibs class. So we came to Shab Guzari. Ajib Abadiya was there, alhamdulillah, a junction. All young, small boys. What is pyar and muhabbat? Hug each one, kiss each one. MashaAllah, you came in the path of Allah. The mashwara is made for Saturday morning bayan. Who's going to give Saturday morning bayan? Said the Jamaat will give it. Alright, so these three boys, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. 6 points in the morning. I had 2 points also. Right, and if I remember clearly, either I sat with Uncle Ibrahim or it was marhum by Dawood Hussain. Alright. So we sat with them and wrote out points, virtue, and how to get into your life. Whole night we sat learning the things. But we remember it now for the next morning. Like how you learn a speech in school, thumb cards. And the next morning is for you sitting in the Shab Guzari program. And young, one of us gave the 2 points, the second 2 points, third 2 points. But what was happening, what the decision Allah Ta'ala had now for the little Jamaat, and the elders taught us these little things, but were big things. Alhamdulillah. So Sami is saying, send them in the path of Allah. There's a good Amir there, some ulama there, they'll spend the time correctly. They'll do everything else also. But you have to be careful now. There's a lot of temptations compared to before. So send them to the, in the company of the Ahlullah, the pious, even if they do not perform salah there, subhanAllah, even if they do not perform salah there, at least their ideas and beliefs will be rectified. They won't hear wrong things. Came with friends. So at least to some extent they will be rectified, or it will be preserved in the right manner, sitting in the company of the pious. Just two more points. One of the primary duties of a parent is to ensure that his child is given sound, solid knowledge of Islam. All matters, especially beliefs, must be taught in such a manner and that it is firmly grounded so that he does not fall into doubt. Important the maktab we choose also. With the solid ulama ikram that will teach him proper aqidah. Teach him the aqidah, the belief system and the masail. It's two most important things because they're not going to get this time again. And we know us, whatever we remember now is also maktab days. It's pulling us through now. We learn the correct things over there, alhamdulillah. And also we really think about it, my dear brothers. So Chalmi is saying, even if they noon in namaz also, but their aqaid will be rectified or preserved. So we know when we went to maktab in those days, they didn't have a proper formal syllabus like how we have nowadays. But those asatis are sitting on the floor, there was a bench over there, wooden bench, and teaching the children all in chorus, different classes, etc. They might not have had all these kitabs and access to all these aqaid and beliefs that we have nowadays, but they had it in their hearts. So although they taught us like more Urdu that time, right? Some kitabs also weren't like 100% according to Sunnah, Zaruri Muslimin. We learned that kitab over there, right? Then we learned the dua now for end of namaz, Allahumma akfirli wa li walidayya wa li usaziyya wa li jami'i al-mu'minina wa al-mu'minat wa muslimina wa al-muslimat. We all learned chorus. So if you think about it, the dua, we learned it now as a Sunnah dua. The Nabi of Allah made the dua, Allahumma akfirli, Allah forgive me. Wa li walidayya, forgive my parents. Holy Ustaz here, forgive Jibreel also, my Ustaz. That was the Ustaz Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So forgive him also. Is that a sunnah dua? But we learned it. And we read it in namaz, the end of the namaz. Is that a sunnah dua? Sunnah dua is Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That's the Bukhari Sharif, the riwayat. But we learned it. But the sincerity, the purity of heart, the aqidah was correct. So we didn't learn so much of aqidah and belief. And all these things, but whatever they had in their lives, we saw it, and they taught us a little bit, we knew that was right. We knew that was a correct thing, finish, period. It was correct. We just heard something a little not right. Although we didn't know the intricacies, but we our old people too, they'll tell you, alright, our parents also, that are alive, alhamdulillah, they're not so deeply educated. We might have more education than them, but they'll tell you, but you know, this doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right. Although we're more educated than them, but they say, but it doesn't feel right. Just find out. When you find out, you say, you know, Papa, you are right, man. Papa, you are right. The thing wasn't 100% that. Allah Ta'ala gives them, because the asatidah they set by at pure hearts. They had pure hearts, pure intention, and they had fikr for these children, that fikr for them. They had fikr for them, pure fikr. And that still is weighing down, alhamdulillah, compared to what it is now. So coming back, sound deen and knowledge you have to give them. Parents must keep a watch on the company of his children. If the child keeps good company, then they strong hope the child will remain on the right path. If on the other hand, the wrong company is kept, the child will easily be spoiled. Even if the child originally had good habits, he will be spoiled. So we have to always see. That's why the Shaykh Rahimahullah, his father was very particular. If more than one namaz, he stood next to the same person, he was in trouble. After namaz, father would catch him. The whole time he stood next to that boy, and a certain time again he stood next to the boy. What work you got with him? He's your friend. You got any work with him? So he never allowed him to stand next to the same boy for any more than one namaz. No friends. I'm your friend. So like this, he kept him so straight. That's why he became Shaykh al-Hadith. Qutb of the time, the Amir of all the Abdals. That was his title. Qutb al-Aqtam. So, we have to see our sons. Every time I was going with this boy, what hook you got with him? What hook you got with him? And see the boy's habits also. Alhamdulillah, the boy is a good boy, mashallah. He's doing, doesn't mean he's doing Hibs of Quran, he's a good boy. We know when the Hibs starts, what is happening, man. Because Shaitan works more than Hibs boy. I tell the Satis usually, and ask the school boys also, that in your class, who's the naughtiest boy? And so before they can reply to me, or when they do reply to me, they say, so and so is very naughty. So I ask him thereafter, he's the Hafiz al-Quran. And most of the time, he's the Hafiz. He's the Hafiz. He's always the Hafiz boy in the class, the naughtiest boy. And especially now, he left school 1-2 years and he went back. There, no malpluck. Then he'll do anything. Bomb the toilet, put firecrackers in there, take out the door, and what he want. He's got guts that you can't believe. And he's the cutest boy in the class also. He got the chamak, the shine, and he said, why he got Quran in him? So where there's mal, there's chor. Where there's something valuable, the thief is there. So when he goes back to school, the shaitan is waiting for him. This is going to make him the ringleader, the group leader. Always a hafiz boy. And you hear also, when it comes to drugs also, he's a hafiz boy. Clubs, hafiz boy. Because he's got something, but he's got wahi in his heart. He's walking with wahi. When Rasulullah Khan sahab will say, rahmatullahi ki, hafiz of Quran, jannat leke pare huwe. He says the hafiz of Quran is actually walking around with jannat with him. He's got jannat with him. He's already got jannat, he's walking with jannat next to him. He's going to put his foot in there. Allah Pak gave him Quran Sharif. So when they go back to school, then the company, they just cling on to it and they do mad things after that. I said, I advise the father, he finished his gift, he wasn't in school all these years, don't send him back. Get one private tutor or somebody like that, somebody private that will educate him, give him his skills, etc. And they send him now, make sure that he is protected, otherwise he'll go wild in school. Allah Ta'ala protect us, give us understanding, inshallah. Do you have any questions, brother? Yeah, they take some rest, inshallah. Tonight is 27th night. Right, so tonight is a big night. According to most Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they regard 27th night as Laylatul Qadr. The brothers are requested to take some rest, inshallah, so we have the strength for tonight to pull the whole night, inshallah. As you mentioned, this night will not come again. Another Ramadan will come, but tonight's night won't come again. Allah Ta'ala give us the strength, inshallah, that if we stay awake tonight, spend it in a profitable manner, inshallah. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك